Amen, amen, amen. Walk around heaven all day. Amen. That's our opening song by Miss Patti LaBelle. Walk around heaven all day. Amen. Don't you feel happy knowing that one day when we close our eyes or yield up the ghost in Jesus' name, amen, we're going home to be with him. Amen. Let's go into prayer. Amen. In Jesus' name. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, anoint me, Lord God. Anoint me, Lord God. I ask that you sanctify these airways, Lord God. I ask, Lord God, that you allow my mouth be as a pen of a ready-made writer in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for your perfect will, Lord God. I thank you that you're a divine majesty, Lord God. I thank you that you are a lawyer in the courtroom, Lord God. Help you, somebody. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask, Lord God, that you have your way on this broadcast tonight. Have everybody in their respectable places, right, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. We ask, Lord God, that lives be changed, lives be empowered, Lord God. We rebuke anything of the enemy tonight, Lord God. Any unclean spirit, Lord God. Allow your angels to go forth on these airwaves, Lord God. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we apply the blood on these lines, Lord God. We apply the blood in our households, Lord God. Surround us with your angels, Lord God. Let the quickening of your word go forth tonight, Lord God. And let it empower your people to become world changers, Lord God, and life rearranges, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, for this men room broadcast, Lord God, that men will be empowered, men will be challenged, Lord God, to think of themselves more highly than one ought to, Lord God, that you may have the finished work, Lord God, in their lives, in the name of Jesus. So I thank you on here tonight, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God. Anoint my mouth, Lord God. Anoint me, walk in me and guide me that I may be able to minister to the needs of your people, Lord God. And I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, if there be anything in me that's not of you, Lord God, cast it to dry place and return no more, in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, you're live at the Men's Room broadcast, amen. I am your host, Minister Faith Walker of Inner Praise Media Group. You can reach us at 347-945-5416. We thank God on tonight for this broadcast, amen. We thank God for our overseer of this broadcast, my brother-in-arms, Pastor Nathan Hill, amen, in his respectable places, and his family as well, and those who are Nathan on the spot, Project 9, amen. We thank God, amen. We're here standing in agreement in the name of Jesus Christ. We're here to be of service to you, the community. We are here in the name of Jesus Christ. So you can make sure you just give us a call. If you desire prayer, if you desire to come in agreement on anything in your life, if you're feeling burdened down, I want to pray for you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the men's room, amen, 347-945-5416. We're here twice a week, amen. I am here twice a week. I know Brother Nathan, he's here more, several times a week. He has youth broadcasts and a lot of other things going here on Inner Praise Media Group, so yeah, be sure to check that out. But if we are here, Mantle of God, 9 o'clock, amen, and on Thursday, amen, we have the men's room broadcast in Jesus' name. We have a special show on you on Monday night at 9 o'clock. We'll have Prophet Dewan Robinson of, she runs a school of prophets down there in Jacksonville, Florida. We are very excited to have her to be a part of us and join her. We're going to be putting her on the spot this Monday at 9 o'clock, so make sure you tune in, amen, to hear what the woman of God has to say concerning the word of the Lord in this season, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So how's everybody been doing during their week? I notice, amen, as I venture around, I notice that a lot of people, they're worried about what everybody else is doing in their Christian walk, what they're doing, what they're not doing. I just come to a firm understanding, amen. You can't please everybody, amen. There are going to be people who grab hold of the word of God, obey the word of God, and then there's going to be people who wrestle the scripture to their own destruction. You just got to continue to shake the dust off your feet and go on. In Jesus' name, amen. So we thank God on tonight, amen. We're going to open up with a scripture, St. John chapter 9, amen. And like I said, if you desire prayer or anything, be sure to call in. 347-945-5416. Or maybe you got a question on any scripture, amen. Make sure you give us a call, amen. Well, if you need healing in your body, let me pray for you. Come in agreement with you in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. If you have any sick ones, or do you have any family members on drugs, alcohol, bound by anything, I've been delivered from those spirits. I'm very familiar with those spirits. I want to pray for you. As God will give me the strength and the anointing on my life to do so, I want to pray for you in Jesus' name. But anyway, we'll be coming from John chapter 9. John chapter 9 on tonight is our topic of not only discussion, but that'll be the text we'll be coming from tonight. John chapter 9, in Jesus' name. We'll be talking about the man that was born blind, in Jesus' name. And I'll be starting from verse 1. It says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither had this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Now, what we see right here, we see a man that's blind. We see a man that's blind from his birth. A man blind from his birth. This man had a condition that if the outer world were to look on that condition from the natural mind, they would have come to a natural realization. Okay? So, but Jesus was able to see in the spirit realm exactly what was what with this individual. And it is so much imperative, very important, that we are able to see a person. We are, thank you, Holy Spirit. We often try to know a person in the natural before taking the time to know them in the spirit. I cannot say of anybody, I can't say this is a powerful man of God and then turn around 1 minute in the next breath and said, this is not a man of God. Who is the one that's hearing from God? Either I'm hearing from God or I'm not hearing from God. So if I ever call anybody a man of God, then I'm saying there is a quickening by the Holy Spirit that allows me to identify with that individual. Amen. There's something in that individual that quickens me, and it's by the Spirit of God that bears witness. But we looking in our text, we see that Jesus passed by, saw a man who was blind from his birth. This man had a natural condition where he could not see anybody in the natural. He could not see nothing. So that means that his hearing was magnified. He could hear things that many people couldn't hear. But when it came to seeing things in the natural, he couldn't see nothing. But the disciples asked him, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now his disciples, the master, was looking at the situation in the natural. They said, okay, well, a man ain't going to be born blind unless some sin came along the line. But how many people know that, as David said, that we was created and shapen in sin? In sin did my mother conceive me. Hello? So it was in sin that we was created. But who sinned? This man, his parents, they was born blind. And that's why we got to be careful when we look at individuals, amen, and they have a ailment in their body. They may be going through dementia, arthritis, just all kind of sickness, cancer. They could be going through AIDS. They could be going through various sickness and diseases. You can't look on a person and say, well, they had to be doing something to have this brought on them. Sometimes God allowed things to come on people so that he can show that I am God and that I can bring you out, that I can bring you out. So if you're going through anything tonight, if you're going through, thank you, Holy Spirit, somebody's going through confusion tonight. Somebody's going through confusion tonight. You're confused about something. You're confused about something in your spiritual life. You're confused right now. Call up here. I want to pray for you. 347-945-5416 in Jesus' name. But who sinned? Somebody had to sin. That's the way it looked like from the outside. But Jesus was able to see on the inside that this man had not sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. See, God wants to let the world know, who is not walking by faith, that I am God and that I am God alone. See, this flesh, this natural man cannot understand faith. And this is something that God had to show me this week, that the natural man cannot understand faith. It can't perceive faith. Faith is a language that the flesh can't identify with. When you walk by faith, you are agreeing with heaven. You are agreeing with heaven. So if you want God to bring you out of a situation, God needs a down payment of faith. God needs a down payment of faith. And when you put that down payment of faith, you are now in agreement with heaven. And when you step out on faith and believe that faith, when you believe in it, now you have access to the blessings that come with the kingdom of God through your belief. Amen. So in verse 4, we're in chapter 9 of St. John. This is where our text is coming from tonight. St. John chapter 9. And no, I don't have no format here. I don't have no format, no paper, just Bible. You know, I'm just talking to you tonight. Amen. St. John chapter 9, we're now on the fourth verse. Now, Jesus said in verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. Now, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. And night cometh when no man can work. See, we can work now, because we have the Holy Ghost. Amen. We have that light on the inside. So we can work now. We have the tools necessary to do the work. But there's going to come a time when the night cometh and no man can work. See, you know, there's going to come a time where the Holy Ghost ain't going to be on this earth, because the Holy Ghost is the engagement ring that is given to the church, the bride of Christ, that when he may come, we may go back to him, to that place that he has prepared for us. So Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Now that is a twofold application of scripture. Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He's the light of the world. Okay? Now, he's still in the world. Jesus is still in the world. He's in the world through us. We're operating through him. Amen. In Jesus' name. So when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have that light on the inside. And now it says in another scripture, it says that men love darkness because their deeds are evil. So when a person comes on, see, a person that saves, when they come around a person that is not saved, amen, they're shining light on their sin, on that darkness. Now, how many people know that a person don't like to have, if they're in darkness, and then you just put a light on them, and a person's in the dark, what's the first thing that happens when you walk in a room, a person's sleeping, and you cut on the light? Hey, turn that light off. Why? Because the light hurt their eyes. It bothered their eyes. Why did it bother their eyes? Because they were sleeping, and their eyes was not open. Amen? Amen. But long as Jesus is in the world, he's the light of the world, and he's in us. So when we have that light on the inside, we are able to illuminate people through the knowledge of the truth. In verse 6, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, and he made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. You know what I found so profound about this scripture is that Jesus spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and it became oil. Huh? Yeah, because the Bible says he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. So we have to have enough of the rivers of living water in us. We have to have enough Holy Ghost in us that when we speak, when we spat, whatever we speak, whatever comes out of our mouth, it's anointed in the name of Jesus. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And so when Jesus spit, he spat on the ground. He made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. That lets us know that whatever comes out of our mouth, it has the power to either heal people or do otherwise. But Jesus spoke. He spat on the ground, and that which came out of his mouth was so anointed that it was able to heal that man. So we must be mindful of the things that come out of our mouth. He said, you know, bless, bless, bless. See, bitter and sweet water can't come out of the same faucet. Blessings and curses can't come out of the same faucet. Amen? If you boast, you boast in the Lord. If you're going to boast, you boast in the Lord. We don't boast in our own self-righteousness. We don't boast in no prophet, no pastor, no apostle. We don't boast in no elder, no deacon. we boast in the Lord. We boast in the Lord. Amen. Verse 7, and it said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. You see that? See, when you go and wash yourself in the Spirit of God, when you go and wash yourself in his word, amen, you can come back and you can see. A lot of people are not seeing right now because they haven't washed. Jesus had anointed them, okay? From the word that he's giving you that word to heal him, to heal you, excuse me. That word is to heal you. And now once you receive that word, you must go and sanctify yourself. You must go and wash yourself, get clean. And now, and then you can see. Amen? You have to be purged and refined from your previous way of thinking, your previous way of analyzing things, your previous way of doing things. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, verse 8, they had seen him that he was blind and said, is not this he that sat and begged? You see that? Now, once you are able to see, now people coming around, you're talking about, wait a minute, ain't this Rob that used to sell dope? Ain't this Julia that used to be on the corner with them group of boys all acting all fast? Ain't this is Jessica doing this and that and the third? Ain't this with her that had the low cut skirt on and used to be in the club and all of that? Ain't this that joker that used to be smoking and drinking? See, when you see, you notice when this man came and he was seeing. See, he didn't have that same countenance that he once had. He didn't have that same look. And they seen him who, they seen him that he was blind and said, is not that he that sat and begged? See, when you can't see, you're begging. You become dependent on society instead of being dependent on the Lord. If I depended on man, and I've been in a situation this week, well, I couldn't even depend on nobody but God. Amen. He let me know. He said, you know what? Because you live right, because you live holy, because you're trusting in me and you're leaning out to your own understanding, he said, I'm going to confound the very people that think that I can't bring you out or that I'm not with you. Amen. So when God does a miracle in your life, when he washes you, makes you clean and able for you to see, the people who are around you, they're not going to understand that. They're not going to understand that. Is this not he that sat and begged? Verse 9, watch this. It says, some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Now, watch this. If he'd have been still sitting there begging, blind, people would have said what? They'd have said, no, that's that joker there who can't see. But because he now see, what? Because they never saw that man coming out of that situation. They was not, he didn't even look like the same person to them because they could never picture him coming out of that situation. They had fixed their thoughts and their natural mind. They had programmed it to be fixed on that man's condition that, they identified him with his blindness, and they identify the blindness and the begging with him. So when he came forth and he was seeing, they said, no, that ain't him. Why? Because they never saw him coming out of that state of him. They never saw him coming out of that state of being blind. Amen. Amen. Well, we're gonna take a break right now, and we'll be back in about 3 minutes. You're live on the men's room, 347-945-5416.
can fear it. I can hardly find my way. Sometimes my burdens get so heavy that I can't stop having sleepless nights and lonely days. But I believe if I keep holding on, God is gonna comfort me and keep me strong. Cause it's in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Yes, it is.
Serve the Lord.
It's way down on the inside.
It's in my heart.
Oh, Lord.
Serve the Lord.
God planted His love.
It's in my
heart. Yes, it is.
Serve the Lord.
He put it down in my heart.
It's in my heart.
Come on, baby. Listen. For a long, long time, I'm not gonna give up. Said I got a made up mind, yeah. I've been lied on, mistreated by my so-called friends. But if I had another chance, I'd do it all again. It's in my heart.
Hey, hello, hello, hello. Okay, amen. We're back on the men's room. Sorry, we had a little technical difficulties. The men's room, 347-945-5416. That's 347-945-5416. That's the men's room fellowship line. Now, we left off in John chapter 9 of our chapter, and we just finished talking about the 9th through the 12th verse, how some said that this is the man. Nah, this ain't him. But this is the man. Well, this, nah, that ain't him. And they said, well, they said unto him, how were your eyes open? And he said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. Now, a lot of people couldn't recognize this man. A lot of people could not recognize this man because his previous state. A lot of people said, well, you know, that ain't the blind man. You know, yeah, that's him. But in verse 10, they said, well, how your eyes was open? He said, man, this man named Jesus anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. See, he'll make you clean once you wash. The Lord tell you to go and sanctify yourself, get clean. He'll clean you. He'll clean you up, and you receive your sight. Now, they said unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. So people might ask you, well, how did you get healed? You said Jesus. They might say, okay, prove it. They said, look, I have not seen the piercing of his hands. I didn't even see the nails going in his foot. I didn't even see when they pierced him in the side. But I believe. I believe. It's just like the song we heard. It's in my heart to serve the Lord. Is it in your heart today? Is it in your heart to serve the Lord? Are you being obedient to what God has given you, to what he's required of you? Against what the naysayers say, against what the people are saying, because he anointed you and he said, okay, go wash. I've cleansed you. He told Simon, thank you, Holy Ghost. He told Simon Peter on the roof, he said, what God has cleansed, let no man call uncommon. Let no man call uncommon. So if God has cleansed somebody, if God has sanctified somebody, let no man call it unclean. Amen? Now, verse 13, they brought to the Pharisee him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. See, it was? It was the Sabbath day. It was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Now, these people, they had a misconception about what the Sabbath was. They believed the Sabbath was something that was going to free the people. But it was just given in the day of Moses' day for order. It was given for order for the people. The law was given to teach us what sin was, to bring us to the schoolmaster, which is Christ. See, the law of Moses was meant to teach the people about sin and that how much we need the faith of God to bring us through. But they took the law of Moses and made it into religion. And over 600 plus, I'd say probably about 632 or something like that, different laws and commandments that they had to obey with the Ten Commandments. You know, ordinances, all kind of sacrifices. Amen. But then again, the Pharisees asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keep not the Sabbath. Others say, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? There was division among them. See? because he didn't follow the order of the day, because he didn't follow what everybody else was doing. Okay? Jesus didn't follow the order of the day. Everybody was keeping the Sabbath. Everybody was having church a certain way. Jesus came along with something different. Okay? He came along with something different, and the people looked at him funny. See, every man, woman of God that God sends, they are weird. They are different. They are different. You know, they're not the same. You look around, every person that God sent, they was outcast, they was persecuted, and they was different. Okay? Look at Enoch. He was so much like God. He walked with God. God said, I got to take you because you're too much like me. Look at Noah. He was building that ark while building and building and building. People were acting a fool. They were doing what they want to do, eating, marrying, drinking, doing what they want to do. Okay? He was weird. They thought, man, who is this weird fella building a boat or building this wooden thing? You know? I imagine Noah sitting in that ark. He said, I know I build this, God, but I'm a little bit nervous. I want to make sure I put them boys together the right way. Amen. Imagine how he felt about the fifth or sixth day when it's just rocking and he hearing all kind of water. He's like, man, I wonder if I put that board to overlap the other board. And you understand what I'm saying? Noah was weird to a lot of people. Look at Abraham. God told him, go out to the land I have shown you. I got a land for you. I'm a birth a seed from your loins. He old. Imagine going around telling folk, I got a baby coming. And you already old, way past your flower, way past your age. They going to say, we're going to call on people on you and lock you up into a crazy house. Okay? Look at Jacob. Told God, I ain't going to serve you. If you bring me back to my father's house, I think about serving you. And look at that. Some people, let somebody come in your church like that and say, I ain't listening to you, pastor. I don't care what God said. I ain't listening to you, apostle. I ain't listening to you, prophet. I ain't listening to you. You know, now if you let me come back to this church later, I may do what you say God is calling me to do. Can you see that? That's Jacob. Look at Joseph. Joseph was hated by his brother. Huh? He was hated by his brother. They hated him. Why? Because God gave him an understanding that he didn't give to them. And they hated him for that. They hated because God gave him a vision, a dream, a purpose. And you know what? They was too busy kicking against it and fighting him. And they just increased their hatred for them. It increased their hatred for Joseph. So they said, let's put him in a hole. Let's see what become of his dreams. Some people, they're going to try to put you in a hole just to see if your dream's still going to come to fruition. Huh? So keep your dream alive. Keep your hope alive. Keep your dream alive. Amen? And look at Moses. Moses was a murderer. Now, we're still on our text, amen, but we're just camping out a little minute. But Moses was a murderer. Amen. Some people might say, how can God fix my situation tonight? I mean, God can fix any situation. Yeah. Yeah. You might have killed somebody. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You done did some things, and you done hit a body in the desert. You done did some things that you think nobody know about, but God see you. And now he got to allow you to leave Egypt, and he's bringing you to a deserted place. See, Moses had to leave his past. Moses had to leave his past. He left Egypt, and he went out there and had a burning bush experience. And then God taught him. God revealed himself to him. And then Moses had to go back to that place, and other people had to get free. Okay? Moses was weird. Picture him walking up to Pharaoh. He's like, people are looking at him like, you must be got a death wish. Okay? I say that to say this. We can go all through the Bible. Apostle Peter, Paul, everybody. You know, everybody who God called, who he chosen, they were weird people. And you know what? They always went against the order of the day. So now you got to ask yourself, what is the order of this season? Look at the state of the churches. Look what everybody is doing. Look what everybody is doing. What is the order of the day? And what is the vision that God has given you? What is the mission he's given you? What's the assignment he's given you? If you got everybody liking you, I challenge you to dig deeper. Because if God has truly sent you for such a time as this, you're going to be hated by some folk because you're carrying a message that has challenged people in their religion and in their tradition. And this is what happened with this blind man. This blind man was healed on the Sabbath, and it went against everything that these people was taught. It went against everything in the synagogue, the prehistoric churches of that day. It went against everything they did. It went against tradition, religion. It went against everything that was of the oral spoken tradition of that day. It was unheard of somebody being healed on a Sabbath day. But they had to acknowledge it because they said, okay, the enemy, he ain't healing folk. He tormenting, you know, got people in bondage. People usually be cutting themselves and all of that stuff. Amen. So this blind man, he had an experience with God. And now watch this. What did the master tell him? I mean, his disciples. They said, why was this man born blind? He said that the works of God may be manifested in his life. Wasn't it manifested in his life? Yeah. So if the works of God was manifested in his life, then who was the work manifested for? You see that? Who was the work manifested for? The work was manifested for all the naysayers because it was another situation where God was using somebody to come against the order of the day. He wanted to challenge people to think outside of the Sabbath. He wanted to challenge people to think outside of that box of religion, that box of tradition. God used this man's life as a testimony that others may be free, that others may be free. Let's go further, amen? We're going to dig a little deeper, amen? Now, it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay open his eyes. Now, they asked him in verse 15 how he received his sight. He said, he put clay on my eyes, I washed, and I see. Now, he didn't know that Jesus spat on the ground, according to that particular scripture. He didn't even know that Jesus spat on the ground. You see that? Because they asked him. He said, well, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and do see. He didn't even reveal the fact that Jesus had phooey on the ground, made of clay. He just said, well, he made clay and put it on my eyes. Now, how did he know it was clay? Well, he felt something damp on his eyelids. He felt something damp, you know. But he left out that information that Jesus spat on the ground, made him spit on, all of that stuff. Why? Because he didn't see all that. He didn't see all that. All he felt was the clay on his eyes. And he said, I went and washed, and now I can see. Amen? Amen. Let's go on. And so verse 16 said, therefore some of the Pharisees said, this man is not of God, because he keep not the Sabbath. Others say, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. Now, they said, Jesus is a sinner. They said, this man is not of God, because he didn't keep the Sabbath. You see that? So now you got people out there that keep the Sabbath. But look at what's happening here. They're saying this man Jesus, they said he is not of God because he don't keep the Sabbath. So now you got to ask a person who keep the Sabbath now. Why are you keeping the Sabbath when the people of that day were telling Jesus, you're not of God because you ain't keeping the Sabbath? So I would challenge those people who keeping the Sabbath now. If you were doing this in Jesus' name and Jesus didn't keep the Sabbath, who are you really doing it for? See, this is why the Lord came to give people an understanding of the Sabbath. See, every day is holy. Every day is holy. Every day is Sabbath. See, when he said on the Sabbath, he rested, right? Now, in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that there is a rest for the people of God. There is a rest that we have entered into for the people of God. So now is not one. See, they took the Sabbath. Jesus had to bring them an understanding of the Sabbath because they didn't want to receive it. They was hard-headed on that thing. They thought the Sabbath, see, they loved the Sabbath. You know why the Sabbath, they loved it? Because that was a chance for them to go and show people, see, I keep this day. I keep this day. I don't do this on this day. Yeah, you go to church on Sunday. I go on Saturday. I'm different. See, it becomes religion right there. And that's why Jesus came, and when it came to the law of Moses, he taught the spirit of it. He didn't teach that, well, you said, do not commit adultery, but I say if you look on a woman with lust in your heart, you know, you've already committed adultery. See, that's the spirit of the law. He was telling you that you're not sinning when you do the physical act. You're sinning when you put that thought. See, that's why, that's why the word of God says we bring every thought into captivity. Because now Jesus come along, he says, you are held accountable based upon your thoughts. That seed that will become a harvest. See, the harvest is when you put that thought into action. That is the harvest, when you put that thought into action. But when you, see, that's when you put it into action, that's the harvest. But if you don't bring that seed into captivity, the Lord says you're guilty because then now you're lusting in your heart. You've already taken that man in your chamber and fornicated with him. You've already taken that woman in your bed and fornicated and committed adultery. You've already done that thing if you're thinking about it. You're thinking about it. Why? A person might say, well, how is that so? Well, when a person masturbates, what are they thinking about? Well, they're thinking about it. They have a visual. They have a visual. Oh, come on. This is the men's room. So when they're having a visual. There's a visual going on that is causing a person to be stimulating their flesh by a visual, by a seed. So by the longer they dwell on that seed, the more they're watering it. Excuse me. The more they're watering it, the more they allowing that seed to come into a harvest. So let's go further. Now, 16 says, therefore, some of these Pharisees said, this man is not of God, because he keeps not the Sabbath. Others say, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that opened our eyes? He said, he is a prophet. Now, watch this. They said that he is a prophet. Now, see there? He's a prophet. Now, during that time, why did he say that about Jesus? He's a prophet. Well, is it yea, he's a prophet? Yea, more than a prophet. See, when he asked him, Jesus Christ, about John the Baptist, they said, well, is this a prophet? He said, well, yea, more than a prophet. So Jesus is more than a prophet. See, the Muslims, they say that Jesus is a prophet, but they do not acknowledge him as the Son of God. They do not acknowledge him. They acknowledge him as Messiah, but then it's crazy because how are you going to acknowledge him as Messiah when the Messiah is the one that's saying God is with us? So this blind man said he's a prophet. So at that day, to be referred to a prophet is a big thing, because they counted John the Baptist as a prophet, okay? Now, even the enemies of John the Baptist knew that he was a prophet. That's why they feared killing him. That's why they feared so long to do anything to John the Baptist, because they knew God was with him. This is why Herod was so afraid, so nervous when it came, when she, that woman, Herodias, ask for his head on a platter. You know? He became nervous because he knew he was a man of God. Knew it. Amen? Let's go a little bit further. But he's more than a prophet. He is more than a prophet. But 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents of him that received his sight. Now look at that. Now you got to call a man parents. Now you got to call a man parents. Now, people who see that you've changed, people who've seen that you've changed, that you've been regenerated, that you've been born again, that you're going to church, that you're doing the very best that you can, people who see that you're doing these things, they're going to always go and try to check up on you. They're going to try to call some folks. Yeah, guess who was in church today? Yeah, girl, yeah. Guess who was in church today? Oh, God, I saw such and such jumping and shouting in church. You see, and no, she been with doggone Troy last night, and she in church jumping and shouting. Well, you know what? How can you knock somebody who's trying to be free of their infirmity? Now, I don't condemn it. I don't condone the sin. Let's be clear. I don't condone the sin. But I have more respect for a person that, look, I'm bleeding and I'm trying to stop the bleeding. Then just sit there and just keep cutting yourself with sin and just, you know, bleeding all over the place. You know, the woman had issues. The woman with the issue of blood, she had issues. She had issues. And it took Jesus to dry up that blood. The blood had to be dried up. How can the blood be dried up? By touching Jesus. Or just a touch. Most of us, that's all we need, just a touch. The touch. To feel the power of his anointing. To feel the power of his Holy Spirit. That's all you need is just a touch. And your issues, that thing that you're fighting, that issue, that thing that is going down in your life, that issue, whether it be cigarettes, drugs, that issue in your life, you can get healing for that. You can get delivered for that. You can get delivered from that. Amen. See, God wants to prepare us for the promised land. See, everybody always talking about, well, the promise is here. The promised land is here. The promise is here. But they don't never want, see, when you're going through a situation, hardships, and you know God has promised you something, you got to hold fast. Why must you hold fast? You got to hold fast, man, woman of God. You got to hold fast, brother, sister. You got to hold fast. Amen. You got to hold fast because you're going through that situation because God wants to teach you something. Because you can't go into this promised land. You can't go into this promised land with all that residue on you. God wants to change your character. He wants to get some stuff up out of you. He wants to get stuff up out of you. Amen. See, a lot of people like to confuse authority, or how should I say, they like to confuse high-mindedness, conceitedness with authority, you know. See, a lot of people confuse the Jezebel spirit, they confuse that with authority. And so, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, because I have that authority. No, you don't have authority, that's a Jezebel spirit. That's a Jezebel spirit. And then when you don't speak up against, if a woman is operating in that, you know, that Jezebel spirit, because a man could be operating in the Jezebel spirit. Hello, it's a spirit. So, you know, a man could be operating in the Jezebel spirit. And then if there's a woman operating in it, and then the man is too intimidated by that to address that spirit, then that becomes a spirit of Ahab. Spirit of Ahab. And if you have somebody who hating on you just like they're doing this blind man in this text, then that's the spirit of Saul. That's the spirit of Saul. Because what they was doing, what was Saul doing? He took David in, but at the same time tried to kill him, tried to kill his dream. You know? At the same time. So now you have the Pharisees around with this blind man. They portraying on the outside like they really care or they try to protect him. But the whole time it was the spirit of Saul in operating through tradition. Because Saul was a traditionist. Because Saul, you know what really did Saul in? What really made him go to another level of wickedness? Is when he heard the women said, David had killed his 10,000s, Saul had killed his thousands. Saul said, what? Saul said, what? Oh, he better than me now? Oh, Jesse's something better than me now. I done been king, or I done been in the church all this long, and now this young person come up in here, and now I done got 1,000 saved, and now she done got 10,000 saved? See, that's the spirit of Saul. That's the spirit of Saul. You know, that spirit of Saul was confined to tradition. Tradition. It's influenced by tradition. And see, that spirit, when it becomes operative in a person, they can't hear from God under that spirit. So now they will go to other sources to hear from God. That's why you see a lot of people that go to prophets, they go to false prophets, prosperity preachers, those tell me, you know, prophets. You know, not like, you know, real recognized prophets, because a prophet will never tell you you're going to get $100,000 and don't tell you about that man that's in your bed, honey. A real prophet will never tell you that you're going to get a house, and then time you get the house, you know, you quit coming to church. God will never tell a prophet to tell you that you're going to get a house to fornicate in, and you know, and ignore that sin, or that sister from the church that you got waiting at home for you, brother. You know, God will never ignore sin and give you what you want. That is so unlike God. You never see no case of that in the scripture where God will give a person the desire of their heart, but it has to be for his glory, though. It has to be for his glory. See, God do things that he may get the glory, but he'll never go against his word. And I think this is a situation that we have prevalent in today, but we are in John chapter 9. And if you want to chime in on this, you can give us a call. We're in the men's room, 347-945-5416. It's 347-945-5416. We understand that the lines are packed right now, amen. So people are just listening, and I thank you for listening in on tonight. But amen, we're coming from John chapter 9. And we're now on the 19th verse. They're asking this man, right, about his parents. They're asking this man's parents. Now, and they ask him, saying, is this your son, who you said was born blind? How then does he see now? His parents answered, said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but what means he now see, we know not. Or who had opened his eyes, we know not, for he is of age. Ask him, he shall see for himself. His parents are saying, look, yeah, this is our child. Yeah, he was born blind. I don't know how he got healed, but you know what? You ask him, because he done got all y'all riled up. We ain't got nothing to do with this. Yeah. We don't got nothing to do with this. Y'all ask him. He grown. Ain't that so much like people? You see what? You see how quickly the parents forsake their own son healing? They say, okay, it's good that he was healed, but we ain't got nothing to do with that. Why? Because they was intimidated. Because everybody, they go. See, people will always go with the masses. This is one thing I learned about people. People, even when it's a situation that they know is not right, even when it's a situation where they know it's not right and they can know a person is real, they will still go along with the popularity. They will still go along with the masses. This is one thing we as Christians have to learn about people. People are so influenced by the number game. Even when online and all of that stuff, whether it be Twitters and all that Facebook stuff and the likes and the dislikes and all of that stuff. You know, people are influenced by that stuff. Some people, they just live their life to be liked by other people, and that's a very bad place to be. That's a very bad place to be. To allow your joy of God to depend on what somebody thinks about you or how somebody views you. I think Vicky Winer said, as long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. And you know what? I had to learn. You have to get to that point. In this walk, you have to get to that point to where you learn depend on Jesus. Like the old song says, through it all, I've learned to depend on Jesus. We are now over our halfway park of the show. We got about 30 minutes left. You can still get your prayer request in. You can still not only get your prayer request in, you can still get your questions in. We're here, 347-945-5416, amen. I thank God, amen. Shout out to Pastor Ava Miles, amen, behind the Veil Ministries. Shout out to Mother Rames, amen. God bless y'all, woman of God. I just salute all y'all, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ. And those who are listening in, amen, via internet and online and our cell phones everywhere, in Jesus' name. We're going to continue our study because I definitely want to make sure we get this wrapped up precisely by the power of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 9. So now, this man's parents, right? This man's parents, they didn't want to identify with this man. They wanted to go along. They said, listen, you on your own, son. Because we like our church position. You see that? Their church position. You know, all because of what they could lose. But they would gain a whole lot more in God if they would have stood with their son. If they would have stood for what's right. If they would have stood for righteousness. Amen? Amen. Verse 21. They say, he's of age. Ask him. He shall speak of himself. 22. These words spake the parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of synagogue. Amen. Now, this is a revelation that the Lord shared with me, right? He said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before who? The Father. Now, who is the Jesus? Jesus is the Word, right? Yes. Jesus is the living Word, right? So how many people know that when you don't go by the Word, when you compromise the Word, when you try to sugarcoat the Word, when you try to wrestle the Scriptures to make them say something that they don't say, don't you know you are denying Jesus Christ? You are denying the Word of God. How is that so? Because Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word. See, you got to catch the revelation of that. God spoke a word in time past, and that word became flesh and dwelled among us in the form and person of Christ Jesus. So when you do not submit yourselves to the working of the Scriptures in your life, when you don't yield yourself to doing what the Scripture says, you are rejecting the Word of God. And so you are basically denying the Lord Jesus Christ. You're denying the Word. You're denying the Lord. No, I'm not. That's different. How is it different? Explain that to me. Jesus is the Word. You look at the book of Revelation. On the side of his thigh, it says the Word of God. He's the Word. So if we don't live by this Word, we are denying the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did those martyrs die in Jesus' name, even at the hands of the Roman Catholic? They died because they believed not only that he resurrected, but they believed in the words that he said, that thou will be with me in paradise. They believed when he said, I go prepare a place for you. I believed it. See, they wouldn't have died in glory if they did not believe the word that was spoken, the same word that we have in the Scriptures, the same word of the prophets, the same word of the apostles. We got to hold fast to the word. Amen. Hallelujah. So we are in verse 21. It said, but what means he see, we know not. Now, in 22, they were scared that he was going to be put out of the synagogue. Look at that. Some people don't want to lose. See, are you scared of you lose your church position? Is your church position worth more than standing for the truth? Some people will ignore the word of God just because of their church position. Just because they church, I'm a deacon. I can't. I might lose my position. Your position? Position? Man. God is so good to us. This word is able to see. You should know the truth. The truth will make you free. And when you abide by the truth, you're free from tradition. You're free from that Pharisaical, Sadduceical attitude. Now, he said, he is of age, ask him. Okay? They call a man that was blind in verse 24. And they said to him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Now, hold up. Hold up. Now, this man said that he was healed by Jesus. Now they said give God the praise because we know this man is a sinner. So you see that? You see that? They're saying that a man that came and healed him, many already recognize as the Messiah. But you see the people? They rather side with the Pharisees. They rather side with the Pharisees. They said, well, we know this man is a sinner. What? But you see the fruits. You see the fruits of a real man of God, a real prophet, a real son of the Son of God, the Messiah. You see the fruits, but you still choose to believe the masters. My God. So let's come on and finish this up. So he said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know one thing now. I was blind, now I see. Then say they to him, What did he to thee? How he opened our eyes. He said to them, I have told you already, ye did not hear. Therefore, would you like to hear it again? Would you also be his disciples? And they revealed him and said, thou art his disciples, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that did God speak unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto him, where is the marvelous thing yet? Do you know not whence he is? And yet he hath opened my eyes. Now we know that God hear not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and does his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened his eyes of one that was born blind. If this man was not of God, he could do nothing. They answered in God and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin. The thou teachest us, and they cast him out. Jesus heard they cast him out of the synagogue. When he had found him, he said unto him, do thou believe on the Son of God? He said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. He said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that they which see not might see, that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard also these words, said to him, are we blind also? Jesus said, if you were blind, ye should have no sin, but now ye say we see, therefore your sin remaineth. In Jesus' name. We're gonna allow the Holy Spirit to work on this thing, amen. We got about 15 minutes left in our broadcast, amen. You can still get your prayer requests in Jesus' name. We're coming in now. So now they said, I've told you already, the blind man said. He said, and you did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Oh, they were ticked off. They were ticked off. He said, man, you are his disciples. He said, man, we follow Moses. He said, man, we ain't identifying ourselves with that new stuff going on. We sticking to the law of Moses. You know? They cast this man out. From the synagogue and everything, but they couldn't fight against it because they said, listen, we know that God hears not sinners, but he that does his will and worship is a worshipman does his will, God hears. You understand what I'm saying? So what happens to a person that does not follow what God has given them? Look at in this case, the Pharisees. They wouldn't know God if it slapped them upside their head. And look at it. They had Jesus and the works. He said, if you don't believe me, believe the works I've done. They didn't even want to acknowledge the works. They even tried to attribute the working of the power of God to the working and the power of Satan. They tried to attribute the working of God to the works of Satan. It's blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. The blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. So the point of this whole text tonight is that you can't look at society and church that's going on right now. You can't look at churches that was going on right now and think that's the way that God intended. You can't look at church where you walk in there and look like earth, wind, and fire about to perform. And, you know, it just, you know, you can't look at how people have disrupt the order of God and just really wrestle in scripture to make them say what they wanted to say, blatantly disrespect the various positions and ways of life and just all kind of things going on. You know, we don't compromise the word of God here. You're not going to get it here. We don't compromise the word of God. We're a servant of the people, but we're a servant of God. We're a servant of God sent to serve the people. That's our job. That's our job. And the job is to give you the truth. Pure, unadulterated, pure truth. According to the word of God. You will never hear according to Pastor Hill. You will never hear according to Minister Faith Walker. You'll never hear that here. You will hear what the word says. Because the word will set you free. The truth will make you free. You notice that? What the word of God says? You shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. See, when you have a problem with the word of God and you're wrestling that thing, the word of God got to come into your heart, life, and to penetrate that heart, and it got to make you free. You see that? It got to make you free. Somebody need to tell God tonight, increase my faith that the truth may make me over tonight. Because he's the potter. He's the potter. He is able to fix what is broke. He is able to heal you. Even that confusion you're going through right now, I challenge you by the power of God's Holy Spirit, amen, to take on the mind of Christ tonight. Because it's there. God wants to give you the mind of Christ. God wants to create in you a new heart. He wants to renew in you the right spirit in Jesus' name. God is a healer, and he's able. So now that's the part of the program where we do our altar call. Even if you want to call in for the altar call, you can. You can just push one. Those of you who are on the line right now, y'all can just push one. If you don't want to do it publicly, and if you don't want to come forth, you can just do it and meet me in the spirit, amen. In Jesus' name. The number 347-945-5416. In Jesus' name. We got about another 13, 14 minutes left on our broadcast. Amen. We're just going to go into prayer, and we're just going to trust and believe God that he's going to meet you in your homes tonight. I know many of you, you're in your cars, and a lot of you on your job, a lot of you are at your desk, at the office, in various places. Some of y'all at the church office working late, kicking back and listening to the men's room tonight. We appreciate you, amen. But we're going to call altar call because God is able to fix what is broke. Whatever area in your life that you need, you stand in need of tonight, God will meet you there. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, anoint me, Lord God. Anoint me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, Lord God. Prepare my heart for prayer, Holy Spirit. Wash me in the Spirit of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that I may go forth, Lord God, and by the anointing of God that's on my life, that may me be able to meet the need of your people that are listening right now. Through the apostolic and prophetic anointing, Lord God. Allow prophecy and discernment of the Spirit to go forth, Lord God. Lord God, meet that healing right now, Lord God, of that sister right now, Lord God. Touch her from the top of her head to the sole of her feet, Lord God. Let the muscles reconnect, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the knees be strengthened, Lord God. Let the heart raise, Lord God. Come fitly formed together, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Repair the temple in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. It shall not be in ruin, but you shall fitly form together to give God glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, heal that backslider, Lord God. Touch them right now. We break that of the cigarettes, Lord God. We break that in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the anointing, we ask that they be broken from that nicotine spirit, Lord God. We come against that with the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we come against it with the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. You are not addicted. You are not hooked. You are set free in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, heal that marijuana user tonight, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ, touch that marijuana, that blood smoker, that reefer smoker, that white zigzag roller, Lord God. Touch them in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, that you may be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, allow them to put it down, lay it down at the altar, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. Lord God, we come against the addiction that comes after eating, Lord God. We come against that addiction when they come up from their bed in the morning time and the desire to instantly roll up, Lord God. We come against against that in the blood of Jesus. We come against that by the power of the anointing right now in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord God, to meet that sister right now, Lord God, in that spirit of fornication, Lord God. Protect us by the angels of protection that you give concerning us, Lord God. Allow your angels to go forth, Lord God, and we cast out that spirit by the blood of Jesus and authority in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Expose every snake in our sister's life, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. I ask, Lord God, that you reveal yourself to her. I beseech thee, Almighty God, by the fear of God, Lord God, that I have, Lord God, I ask you, Lord God, to touch that sister right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. That we break it by the authority of Jesus Christ, Lord God, and we loose the anointing, we loose the word of God to be able to penetrate that desire, that lust, that burning of the flesh, Lord God. We soothe that in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, le kala masanda rebo shima handa rebo shikini handa rebo shakia hata rebo shata. Lord God, touch that anointed woman of God right now, listening in, Lord God. Touch your vessel right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. I ask for a refreshing anointing right now to go forth in the name. Yes, you. I see you in the spirit. I ask that you touch her right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, touch her right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. Even as she's saying, is it me? Is it me talking to? Yes, I'm talking to you. In the name of Jesus, I can literally see you and hear you in the spirit. Touch her right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ, greater levels of anointing. God has us many assignments for you in this season. In the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you, God. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you, Lord God, that she is a mighty warrior for God. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God will use you to deliver many in his name. In Jesus' name, amen. Be obedient in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you believe on Jesus Christ, that he is the King of kings, Lord of lords, that he is the Savior of one soul, amen, that he's able to watch and make you over, you believe that he died and rose on the third day, was resurrected, seen of 500, according to scriptures, amen, he's the first fruit of the dead, he's the head of the church. If you believe by faith, your heart is lining up to the confession that you have said and released tonight, then you are saved. You are saved, and I encourage you to get to a Bible-believing church that teaches sound doctrine and then the apostolic doctrine, that fivefold ministry, amen, apostle, prophet, pastors, evangelists, teachers, amen, and lines up with the word of God. You go and get yourself lined up to a Bible-believing church, amen. Get yourself baptized in Jesus' name. Baptism is not for church membership, but baptism is to be identified with the death of Jesus Christ and the suffering, and to be coming out that water resurrected to the newness of life. It is telling the devil, I have died to my former self and I've come alive to God in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, amen. As we draw near unto the close, amen. Y'all continue to get your prayer requests in. Amen. The number here, 347-945-5416. I've definitely have enjoyed myself on this broadcast, and the word of God has come forth based upon John chapter 9. John chapter 9, talking about the blind man. Awesome. So just as we do a brief recap, amen, just knowing that a person's condition, because this blind man, he was blind. He was blind on the outside. But God used an outside defect to cause a spiritual shift, So he used an outside situation to address a need in the spirit of the people, because that miracle of making a blind man able to see on that day planted humongous seeds among the people who was able to witness that thing. So when Pentecost came many, many years later, when Pentecost did came, the people were ready. They're like, listen, I remember Jesus. They crucified. Matter of fact, he resurrected. Don't you remember that blind man? Don't you remember when he did this? Don't you remember when he did that? Somebody might be saying, well, how do you mean when he did this and did that? Well, the last few scriptures in the book of John says there are many other things that Jesus did. And if it was written, not even the earth itself could contain them. So there's so many things that the Lord did that we don't even have in the Bibles. But that's no reason for you to go believe some other books, you know, Book of Mary and Gospel of Judas and all of this other garbage. You know, you don't go looking outside the Word of God, amen, the Holy Scriptures. We have what the Lord wants us to reveal, amen, because I believe some of the miracles that he did, amen, it would just blow the natural mind so much that we probably wouldn't be able to handle it. But he has given us what we're able to handle, amen. He has given us where that we're able to grasp, amen. That we won't be, you know, we're already debating stuff in the scripture, amen. Well, only the fool debating his heart, amen. Amen, in Jesus' name. So we thank God on tonight. We thank God for the Spirit of God. We thank God for the peace that passes all understanding. And God is just wonderful. God is just wonderful. We'd like to thank God on tonight. Amen. We like to thank God tonight for his healing and deliverance. Amen. And you can catch us back on here Monday night, 9 a.m. We have a wonderful show in store for you. We'll have the woman of God herself, Prophetess Dewan Robinson. Amen. She's a marketplace prophet. Amen. Wonderful woman of God. She has an awesome anointed fivefold ministry prayer line that's on Mondays and Fridays. She prays for the fivefold ministry and also marketplace prophets and apostles. Amen. In the spirit of God has shown me this woman of God in the spirit. Amen. And I mean, she operates in the spirit of Elijah. She operates in the spirit of Elijah, wonderful woman of God. If you know of her ministry, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I encourage you, if you're online, Twitter or Facebook or anything, y'all definitely make sure y'all connect with that woman of God, Prophet Dewan, amen, Incorporated, amen. Ministry is on the internet. You can Google her. She'll come up, and you just govern yourself accordingly, amen. And shout out to her husband, amen, Bishop Harold, amen, who is like the Bishop James of the book of Acts, amen. Wonderful, powerful man of God, amen. And God has given them a mandate in his last days, amen. And they are birthing people out and they are raising them up. If you ever speak with somebody who are from their organization, or if you speak with somebody who's from their ministry, their church, you can automatically sense the perfecting going on in the spirit. Amen. These are not lukewarm people being birthed out in the spirit. These are mighty men and women of God, and God has given them a mandate to raise them up. Amen. Amen. And whenever you see this woman of God, she always has a word. She always has a word from the Lord. Amen. She's always in tune to the things of the spirit. Amen. And amen, that comes from being sent by God. So we thank God for the woman of God. We look forward for her being on the broadcast on Monday night at 9 o'clock. Be sure you tune in and govern yourselves accordingly, amen. And for those who are also desiring for a word tonight, you can go on to Behind the Veil, amen, where the overseer is Pastor Ava Miles, amen. Behind the Veil Ministries, amen. They have a teleconference line, amen. You are able to go there and hear. They got a praise and worship service going online. So you get on that line, you tell them Faith Walker sent you, amen. You go on that line, amen, and you praise the Lord coming on the line. Hallelujah. It's 209-255-1000. That's 209-255-1000. And the passcode is 396-465. That's 396-465. The number again is 209. Get your pencil or pen. 209-255-1000. That's 209-255-1000. And 396-465-pound is the code. I know somebody said they want the information for Prophetess Dewan. Amen. I believe we have her number on deck as well. You can reach her company. Amen. If you desire to have a one-on-one with her, or if you desire to have any her ministry things that she has going on, the ministries or bookings and things like that, and you want to know what she's preaching and things like that, you definitely reach her at 877-595-9117. That's 877-595-9117. I repeat, 877-595-9117. I hear somebody in the spirit say, "You're talking too fast." I'm trying to slow down. 877-595-9117. 9117. That's Profited the One Robinson, amen. That's her company of the Marketplace Prophets. If you want her prayer line, amen. Prayer line is in the morning. She does it for 15 minutes. Sometime it'll be her, I believe it's Elder Pamela. Amen. But you can reach the prayer line at 7 a.m. in the morning. So set your alarm clock, or if you're on your way to work, to put your Bluetooth in, and you could just get some anointed word, amen, encouragement as she prayed for the fivefold ministry, amen, and Marketplace Prophets, amen. 712-432-1630. That's 712-432-1630. And the PIN number is 418-609. 418-609. I'm going to repeat that information to you one more time. The number for tomorrow prayer line is 15 minutes long at 7 o'clock a.m. That's Prophetess DeJuan Robinson, the Marketplace Prophets. Amen. A lot of time it'd be her and Bishop Harold or Elder Pamela or Prophetess Latanya. Amen. The number is 712-432-1630. That's 712-432-1630. The PIN number is 418-609. I know that's a lot of information, amen. Amen. I would not waste my time if I don't think you would be blessed by it, amen. So, you know, you have behind the veil, them sisters will be, matter of fact, you can go on there right now, because as we about to come to a close, amen, we thank you for joining us. We thank you for your prayers, your prayer requests, amen. And if you definitely want to be involved in 3 a.m. prayer, I definitely have that going on, 3 a.m. prayer line, amen. Those are for frontline soldiers, amen. I will definitely be on there tonight. I do that like every other night as the Lord willeth, amen, because you can't do everything, amen. But if you wish to be a part of that that prayer line, amen, 3 a.m. prayer, that is 218-548-3460. That's 218-548-3460. That's 218-548-3460. And the passcode is 7777#. That's 4 7s. The number is 218-548-3460. 7777#. Amen. A lot of information, amen. If you desire to get your information in, amen, just make sure you join us, amen. We're on blogtalkradio.com, amen. You just drop it in the message box. Pastor Hill, he'll definitely get the response, amen, and we'll take care of you in Jesus' name. Well, that's our show for this week, amen. On behalf of Pastor Hill, myself, Minister Faith Walker, amen, Enter Praise and Media Group, On the Spot Nathan, Project 9, we love you. Keep us in prayer as we continue to do what God called us in these last evil days. Man, God bless you. All my 3 a.m. prayer warriors, I'll see you then. God bless. Bye-bye.